سورة الحج. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم. يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. O mankind, fear your Lord. Indeed, the earthquake of the hour is a terrible thing. The day you shall see it, every nursing mother will forget her nursling, and every pregnant one will drop her load, and you shall see mankind as in a drunken state. Yet they will not be drunk, but severe will be the torment of Allah. In different places in the Quran, we find depictions of the scene of the Day of Judgment. In Surah Zilzal, Allah tells us, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, when the earth is shaken. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا, and earth expels its burden. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا, and man cries out, what has happened to this earth? Allah keeps on mentioning this earthquake that will take place on the Day of Judgment. Now again, there's a theory that I'd like to read out. And according to this theory, they say that gravity is due to minute differences in time at different heights. This difference in time is enough to make things fall to earth. If time reverses in the contracting phase of the universe, then this time difference will also reverse. This will cause gravity to reverse so that everything will fall upwards, producing an earthquake of a magnitude never seen before. The earth will be suddenly lifted up from under our feet along with the mountains and subsequently come crashing down. And it will cause the earth to literally explode and turn inside out. The mountains will fall apart. The red-hot lava will be thrown out, lighting up the sky like molten copper. As Allah tells us in another surah, when the sky will be like molten copper and hills will be like flakes of wool. Now Allah says, this is a terrible sight to behold. So prepare for it. Send ahead some deeds for that day. The day you shall see it, every nursing mother shall forget her nursling. See the vivid examples Allah presents for us. Every nursing mother shall forget her nursling. See, every mother, the smaller the child is, the more the mother will be thinking about the child. Where is the child? What is the child doing? But if a mother is nursing her child, she can't be away from the child very long. When it's time for the child's feed, instinctively, milk will start overflowing and she'll need to feed the child instantly. She can't forget the child, but on that day Allah says, the immensity of this day will be such that even a feeding mother will forget her child. And every pregnant one will drop her load. What is one of the causes for miscarriage? Intense fear or fright. We find that after Hiroshima, many women became barren. So Allah says on that day, pregnant women will miscarry. And you will see mankind as in a drunken state, dazed, bewildered, groggy. They won't be able to take it in. What's happening to us? قَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. Man will cry, what's wrong? What's happening? Yet they shall not be drunk. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. The torment of Allah is something intense. And among mankind is he who disputes concerning Allah without knowledge and follows every rebellious devil. Now look at the contrast between the two verses. On one side we have this scene of fearful immensity. And you read it and instinctively your blood curdles to think of that day. And Allah says, and what is man doing? He's busy arguing about Allah, and he's arguing about the Quran, and he's making statements about religion of which he has no knowledge. And people say, no, well, I don't think Allah is going to ask me about something like this. And I don't think that, you know, Islam really can apply nowadays, and the Quran is backwards and outdated and primitive, and we need to expunge certain sections of the Quran. Allah says, they are in ghafla. Among mankind is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge and follows every rebellious devil. And nowadays also it's become the fashion to pass statements on religion whether or not we've even read the Quran. For him it is decreed that whoever follows him, he will mislead him and drive him to the torment of the fire. If we ourselves are not interested in reading the Quran, if we want to take our deen on hearsay, then fine, like Rahafiddin, there is no compulsion in religion. Ya Yuhannas, Allah reminds us, O mankind, if you are in doubt about the resurrection, if you think the Day of Judgment is not really going to happen, then indeed we have created you from dust, then from a drop, then from a clot, then from a little lump of flesh, some formed and some unformed, that we may make it clear to you. And we cause whom we will to remain in the wombs for an appointed term. Then we bring you out as infants, then that you may reach your age of full strength. And among you there is he who dies, and among you there is he who is brought back to the miserable old age, so that he knows nothing after having known. See how Allah reminds us of the stages of our life. We've all been through birth, and Allah describes the stage before birth while we were in our mother's womb. Who are we to set ourselves up against Allah, to squabble about Allah, to argue about Allah? Then Allah says, we cause whom we will to remain in the wombs for an appointed time, then we bring you out as infants. Some children die at birth, some die in childhood, some die in youth, some die in adolescence, some die in maturity, and some die in miserable old age, after having reached senility, having become a burden to all those around him, so that he knows nothing after having known. What does all this mean to remind us? That we are all traveling towards Allah. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. O man, you are traveling towards your Lord. You're passing through these different stations until you reach that ultimate station. فَمُلَاقِيهِ, where you meet Allah. And you see the earth barren, but when we send down rain on it, it is stirred to life and it swells and puts forth every lovely kind of growth. If Allah can bring the dead earth to life by means of rain, why can He not bring back dead people to life by means of His command? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ. This is because Allah, He is the truth. And it is He who gives life to the dead. And it is He who is able to do all things. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ. And surely the hour is coming. There is no doubt about it. And certainly Allah will resurrect those who are in the graves. Like it or not, whether we admit it or not, whether we prepare for it or not, we're all going back to Allah and we will all be held accountable for what we did. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And among mankind is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge or guidance or a book giving light. People who've never even read the Quran, people who've just read a translation and think that makes them, you know, experts on religion. Yes, I read the Quran and I didn't understand this bit of it. And I read the Quran and you know that part, the part dealing to women just didn't appeal to me. One reading of the Quran does not make us experts on religion. People read the Quran and say, oh, the word haram hasn't been used for wine, so that means that it's not haram. Among mankind is he who disputes about Allah, about Allah, about Allah's laws, without knowledge, without guidance or a book giving light. He's not studied the Quran. He's not studied it for several years. He's not contemplated it. One reading of the Quran certainly does not make a scholar. Bending his neck in pride and leading others astray from the path of Allah. When we pass statements, you know, irresponsible statements about Islam, then we're misleading others as well. For him, there is disgrace in this worldly life. And on the day of judgment, we shall make him taste the torment of burning fire. This is because of what your own hands sent forth. Does it seem that Allah is being harsh? Why should Allah throw him into hell? Because of what his own hands sent forth. أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِالظَّلَّامِ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah is not unjust to his slaves. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And amongst mankind, who worships Allah upon the edge. We need to highlight this ayat. It's a very relevant ayat for all of us. See, after reminding us of the Day of Judgment, after reminding us that we all have to go back to Him, Allah says there are some people who worship Allah upon the edge. Some of the time we obey Allah, and some of the time we'll do what we feel like doing. If any good befalls him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalls him, inqalaba ala wajhihi, he turns back on his face. Who is this person? If you've noticed, Allah never mentions any of the criminals by name, apart from Fir'aun and a few others. Whenever Allah speaks about the hypocrites, Allah never takes their names to remind us that we can't just say, oh, this ayat is speaking of hypocrites who lived 1400 years ago, and we're not like that. Allah is saying, analyze yourselves. Are we by any chance amongst these people? Who are these people who worship Allah upon the edge? We are reading prayers. We are obeying Allah. But we are careful that we don't surrender ourselves completely because we don't want to give up all our fun and enjoyment. So we'll do those things which we find easy in us. For those which we find difficult, well, we'll postpone them for a while. And Allah says if good befalls him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalls him, he turns back on his face. People who say, oh, I prayed, and my du'as didn't help me, and my sadaqahs didn't help me, and my speaking the truth did not help me, so what's the point of ibadah? Allah has already told us that both good times and bad times are a test from Him. We find that in the early days of Islam, what would happen was that some of the Bedouins would convert to Islam. When they would return to their villages, they would wait and see. Now, if their crops were blessed and their children were blessed, they'd say, oh, Islam is a wonderful religion. But if their crops were not blessed and their children weren't blessed and they went through hard times, they'd say, Islam is an unlucky religion. In the same way, we find that there was this Jew who converted to Islam and he lost everything. He lost his sight, he lost his wealth, he lost his children. So he came to the Prophet ﷺ angrily and he said, this is a cursed religion. This is an unlucky religion. And the Prophet ﷺ told him that Islam melts a person as fire melts gold and silver's base element. In other words, when we go through sufferings, Allah is purifying us. Remember the story of Amina Salmi's teacher, that when that man who was doing so much for Islam, worshipping Allah, teaching people about Islam, and he got cancer, and he was dying. And one day she was sitting by him, and he was in an agony of pain. She says, I have never seen any human being in such physical suffering. He couldn't even speak. And when that spasm subsided, he looked at her and said, Amina, see how much Allah loves me? And she says, I was shocked for a minute. I'd never seen someone suffering so much, and this is what he's saying. Not see how much Allah's testing me, see how much Allah loves me. He said, don't you see, Amina? Allah's cleansing me. Allah is purifying me. This is the vision of a mu'min. But as for such a person, the hypocrite, who will do something only when everyone else is doing it, whenever it's light, he'll walk, and when it's dark, he halts. When everyone is praying, he'll get up and pray, but if no one's praying, he'll just stay sitting and he'll go home and read qaza. Allah says, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. This poor man, he loses both the world and the hereafter. A little bit of fear of Allah keeps him from disobeying Allah too much. And a lot of fear of losing this world keeps him from obeying Allah too much. So such a man, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He's lost out on both. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. That is the evident loss. See, this is the tragedy of the hypocrite. The hypocrite wants the best of both worlds. He wants to please Allah and he wants to please people. He wants to have Jannah and he wants to have Jannah in this world. And he ends up with neither. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. That is the evident loss. What have we been told? اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Enter into Islam fully. What are you waiting for? Become Muslims in your speech. Become Muslims in your pursuits, in your hobbies, in your dress, in your actions, in your thinking. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Enter fully into Islam. There was this man and he wanted to convert to Islam but he was having doubts. And this other convert told him something very beautiful. He said, Islam is like a greenhouse. If you're standing outside the greenhouse and you're looking at the beauty therein, you can appreciate it in a detached sort of way, in an objective way. But to sense the fragrance of the beauty in that greenhouse, you need to enter it. So we can't just sit back and detached and pass objective judgments that, yes, you know, I can read prayers, but it's very difficult for me to do hijab. اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Enter into Islam fully. Such a person who's following his own self-interest loses both this world and the hereafter. That is the evident loss. He calls besides Allah unto that which can neither harm him nor profit him. That is a straying far away. He calls to him whose harm is nearer than his profit, certainly an evil patron and certainly an evil friend. Indeed, Allah will admit those who believe and do good deeds to gardens under which rivers flow. Indeed, Allah does what He wills. Whoever thinks that Allah will not help him in this world and the hereafter, let him stretch out a rope to the ceiling and let him strangle himself. Then let him see whether his plan will remove that whereat he rages. Now this ayat has different tafsirs. One tafsir is that whoever thinks that Allah will not help the Prophet ﷺ in this world, in other words, he thinks that Islam is doomed to failure, then he should stop the divine revelation if he can. And another tafsir of this ayat is that if someone thinks that Allah is not going to help him anymore, like people say, oh, Allah has never helped me and Allah is just not helping me and I'm going through so much suffering, then Allah says, then let him stretch out a rope to the ceiling and strangle himself. Why is suicide haram? Because it's the ultimate act of denial of God. that no, even Allah cannot help me anymore. So there's no point in living anymore. And Allah says, let him see whether this suicide helps him, whether this is the solution to his problems. فَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَاهُ Thus have we sent this Quran as clear signs, and surely Allah guides whom He wills. Whom does Allah guide? Is it Allah's responsibility? That, oh, if Allah wishes, He'll guide me? No. يَهْدِ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابْ He guides towards Himself the one who seeks Him, the one who turns to Him. Indeed, those who believe, and those who are Jews, and the Sabians, and the Christians, and the Majus, and those who worship others besides Allah, indeed Allah will judge between them on the Day of Judgment. Indeed Allah is over all things a witness. Do you not see that whoever is in the heavens, and whoever is on the earth, and the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and the mountains, and the trees, and the living creatures, and many of mankind prostrate themselves to Allah? This is a glorious ayah. And it's an ayah full of sadness. Look at the words. Whoever is in the heavens, whoever is on the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the trees, all living creatures are prostrating themselves to Allah. Now they're all doing it. And what of mankind? كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ Many of mankind. Not all of mankind. Now Allah doesn't say prayer here. He says sajda. Now sajda is one of the most beautiful acts of worship, because sajda is the symbolic act whereby we surrender this intellect of ours to Allah. When I put my brain down before Allah and say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glorified is my Lord, the most exalted, that Allah, you know best, you know more than this does. So we find Allah is saying that many of mankind prostrate themselves to Allah. Man is the only being who is so ungrateful that all of them are not prostrating before Allah. But there are many on whom the punishment is justified, the punishment for not doing that sajda. And whomsoever Allah disgraces, none can honor him. Indeed, Allah does what He wills. Why do many people stay away from prayer? Why are many people ashamed of praying publicly if they're at a party or at a wedding? Why will they delay reading their salah till they go home? Lest people condemn them or label them fanatics or fundos. Allah says sajda is an honor. Salat is the greatest honor, it's the greatest gift of Allah that He has bestowed upon us. But whomsoever Allah disgraces, who is the one whom Allah disgraces? Who runs after people, who wants to please people. You know, like people who are always worrying about what people think, what people say. Allah says, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ Do such people seek glory and power with others? Do they think that people's judgments are the most important thing? إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا Tell them, all power, all honor, all glory belongs to Allah. Seek glory with Allah, not with people. Indeed, Allah does what He wills. These two opponents dispute with each other about their Lord. Who are the two opponents? The believers and the disbelievers. And some people say, well, we've seen what those who read their prayers are like. We're not going to be asked about them. We're going to be asked about our own salah. Then as for those who disbelieve, garments of fire will be cut out from them. Boiling water will be poured down over their heads. Those heads which refuse to bow down. With it will melt away what is within their bellies as well as their skins. And for them are hooked rods of iron. Every time they seek to get away therefrom, from anguish, they will be driven back therein. And it will be said to them, ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ Taste the torment of burning. Now when Allah frightens us, He always reassures us. And so Allah talks of Jannah. Truly Allah will admit those who believe and do good deeds to gardens, underneath which rivers flow, wherein they will be adorned with bracelets of gold and pearls, and their garments therein will be of silk, and they are guided in this world to pure speech, and they are guided to the path of the one who is worthy of all praise. So the choice is ours. Right now we can decide whether we wish to please people or we wish to please Allah. Indeed, those who disbelieve and hinder from the path of Allah and from the sacred mosque, which we have made open to all men, the dweller in it and the visitor from the country are equal there, and whosoever inclines to evil actions therein, or to do wrong, him we shall cause to taste from a painful torment. وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ أَلَّا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ Remember, when we showed Ibrahim the site of the sacred house, why does Allah mention Ibrahim alayhi salam? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord told him to surrender, he said, I surrender to the Lord of the worlds. No excuses, no prevarications, no postponing. I surrender now. Remember when we showed Ibrahim the site of the sacred house, saying, Do not associate anything in worship with me. Shirk has different forms. One form of shirk is when we are listening to our own nafs rather than Allah. One form of shirk is when we are doing a good deed and we are doing it for other than Allah. So this was the first command told to him, that do not do shirk with me. When his father wanted him to disobey Allah, whom did he obey? His Allah. When his clan wanted him to disobey Allah, when his king told him to disobey Allah, whom did he obey? Allah. La tushrik bi shay'a. And purify my house for those who go around it, and those who stand up for prayer, and those who bow and make sajda. This was the honor bestowed upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. We regard serving deen as a chore, as a burden. You know, I don't have time to study the Quran, and I don't have time to do anything for the Quran because my children are too small. Allah says Ibrahim alayhi salam was rewarded by having this honor bestowed upon him, the honor of purifying the Kaaba. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. And proclaim to mankind Hajj. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Proclaim to mankind Hajj. They will come to you on foot and on every lean camel. They will come from every deep and distant mountain highway. The magnificence of this ayah can only be felt if you have gone for Hajj. If you've gone for Hajj and you've seen that vast ocean of humanity, all calling out, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika lak Labbaik, O Allah, here I am, ready to serve you, ready to worship you. Now, according to Jeffrey Lang, he comes up with a really beautiful point. He says, if you imagine that when Ibrahim alayhi salam was told to call people towards Hajj, how many people do you think there were in Makkah at that time? His family? Maybe some shepherds? Now, you and I would have said, the word is adhin, call out, proclaim. Now, we would have said, but what's the use of proclaiming it when there's such few people here? But such was Ibrahim alayhi salam's trust and love for Allah, he obeyed implicitly. And look at the response to his call. Imagine that first call that he made. And look at the response. People from all over the world, rich or poor, Europeans, Americans, Pakistanis, Asians, Malaysians, all of them. And their cry reverberating. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Oh Allah, here we are. This was the response to Ibrahim alayhi salam's call. Subhanallah, يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. They will come from every deep, distant ravine. See, if you've been for Hajj and if you've stood upon the roof of the Haram and just looked down and you've just seen that ocean of humanity and that ayat comes to mind, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Oh mankind, you're all beggars before Allah. Everyone dressed in white, everyone praying to Allah, everyone crying before Allah. It's an awesome spectacle. أَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Proclaim Hajj before mankind. What is the purpose of Hajj? What do we do Hajj for? Oh yes, I have to go for Hajj, but I'm not ready for it yet. So when I'm an old woman and I have nothing better to do, then I'll go for Hajj. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Allah says that they may witness things that will benefit them. And they may mention the name of Allah on appointed days over the beast of cattle that He has provided for them. For sacrifice, then eat thereof, and feed therewith the poor, having a hard time. This is why we go for Hajj, to benefit ourselves. Allah doesn't need our ibadah, we need Allah. Then let them clean their dirt, and perform their vows, and go around al-bayt al-atiq, the ancient house. Think of the glory of the Kaaba, and when you stand before it, I mean the sight that moves people to tears. Why does it move so many to tears? Al-Bayt al-Atiq, the ancient house built by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. Think of their dua when they were building it. Rabbana taqabbal minna. O Allah, accept from us. And see what a magnificent acceptance Allah accorded them. Zalik, this, ومن يعظم حرمات الله فهو خير له. Whoever honors the sacred things of Allah, then that is better for him with his Lord. The cattle are lawful to you, except those that were mentioned to you. فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. So shun the abomination of idols. Rijs is filth, impurity, something which is disgusting, sick. And shun lying speech. Now here it's very interesting that Allah has linked two things together. Worshipping idols and making false testimonies. Now in our society we find that people have conveniently compartmentalized deen. So we find people who go for Umrah and Hajj and they're, you know, paying others to give false testimonies for them. Look at our courts and look at the people standing outside ready to come up and give a false testimony. And they do it blindly, carelessly, without even thinking of the reckoning. The Prophet ﷺ once said, "Shall I inform you about the greatest of the great sins?" They said, "Yes, O Allah's Messenger." He said, "To join others in worship with Allah, to be undutiful to one's parents," and then he sat up after he had been reclining. You know, like you sit up because you want to emphasize the point. And he said, "And I warn you against giving a false statement." Qawl al-zoor, false testimony, whether it's in a court of law or it's in your own house. And he kept on saying that warning till we thought he would not stop. Why did he keep on repeating it? Why has it been linked to shirk? Because shirk is telling a lie against Allah, and when we make a false statement, when we give a false testimony, we are telling a lie. And we're telling a lie to deprive someone of their right. And in Allah's eyes, this is something despicable. Hunufa alillah, be upright, focus on Allah. Don't focus on people, don't focus on this world, focus on Allah. Not associating partners in worship to Him. And whoever assigns partners to Allah, it is as if he had fallen from the sky and the birds had snatched him or the wind had thrown him to a far off place. Now when we start to try and please people rather than Allah, when we start compromising on our deen, for people's sake, what happens? It's like people will tear us apart because our spouse will tell us one thing, our parents will tell us one thing, our children will tell us something else, our friends will want us to do something else. When we try and please people, we create for ourselves a multitude of gods. And when we try and please Allah and Allah alone, then we have harmony and peace within us. Now we can decide whether we wish chaos in our life or harmony and stillness. Allah says whoever assigns partners to Allah, it's as if he's fallen from the sky. The spiritual heights of La ilaha illallah. The birds had snatched him. Everyone wanting him to please them. Friends saying, "Fulfill my rights." Husband saying, "Fulfill my rights." Children saying, "Fulfill our right." The birds had snatched him, or the wind had thrown him to a far off place. No chance of salvation for such a one. Now we can decide right now, whom do we wish to worship? Allah or people? People aren't going to help us on that day. We read that earlier on in the Quran. When the weak people will say to the arrogant ones, "Well, we were following you. Can you help us?" They'll say, "No. If we could have helped ourselves, we would have helped you too." And it's the same whether we bear it patiently or we complain. There will be no refuge.